Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides, and even...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I want to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Professor Otis Graham, and we're going to be talking about his book, Immigration Reform and America's Unchosen Future. Immigration reform in America's unchosen future, and immigration is a very important element to what's going on today here in California. We hear a lot about the budget. We don't talk about the billions of dollars every year are being used for to finance the illegal immigrants here, including the subsidies for illegal immigrants who are known to be illegal are going to college right here at the University in California. Why would you do something like that? Well, let's get to our special guest this afternoon, because there are a lot of unanswered questions about immigration. Now, Professor Graham, before he retired, was a professor at the University of California in Santa Barbara. He's the author and editor of 17 books on political and environmental history, and certainly he's been associated with the Federation for Immigration Reform and other groups that are seriously concerned about what's going on. He's served on the board of the Californians for Population Stabilization. We have to stop massive illegal immigration here in the United States, because it will eventually, of course, have a profound impact on our society. And I share... do we have Michael Perutka on the line?
Yes.
Well, Michael, is this Michael Perutka?
Yes, it is.
Well, Michael, it's so good to have you with us. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
And now that we've told everybody about Otis Graham, let's tell them about Michael Perutka, who is, of course, the president of the Institute of the Constitution, and certainly we do everything we can to try to get people involved to learn to study the American Constitution. So, Michael, you go right ahead and tell people a little bit about your organization and why it is so vitally important that people learn about the Constitution. Most people, they think that they understand it. I think that the average person has no idea what the Constitution is really all about.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's an honor to be with you, and thank you very much. I always enjoy your introduction when you talk about overlooking Monterey Bay and the hills overlooking Monterey Bay. I have had the great privilege of being there a couple of times in my life, and it is, in fact, a beautiful and wonderful place and a great example of God's glory. You know, sometimes when we read the Psalms, they tell us about how we are without excuse, because we see God's majesty and glory and His plan and the evidence of His being in nature. And certainly you live in an area where that is true. And I always like to tell you, and to tell your listeners, so do I. I have the great pr- privilege and honor of living in the Chesapeake Bay area. I know that you could, I know, Dr. Sanders, you could say, well, you're very close to that belly of the beast there, Washington, D.C., and we are. But we're also very privileged to live in what we call the land of pleasant living, which is the Chesapeake Bay area and region and all the tributaries that feed into the Chesapeake. And so we have that great privilege as well.
But, of course, and you have centered back there the Institute and the Constitution. And the Institute is trying to reawaken in the American people this concept of our Constitution, which separates America from every other nation in the world. Isn't it a shame our leaders don't believe in it? Many of them who've sworn their allegiance to it are actually working to destroy the sovereignty of our nation under our Constitution. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Michael Perutka. And Michael Perutka is the president, director of the Institute and the Constitution. And certainly they are working very, very hard to set up study groups all across America where people can learn about our Constitution. And certainly they've been doing this for a number of years. How long have you been at it, Michael?
Well, we had a, Dr. Stan, we had our very first class. Our very first gathering was January 9th of the year 2000. So we've been about this about 9 years, a little over nine and a half years now. And people in every state now, and thousands of people, and we've lost count of how many people. I'm happy to say we've lost count. People in every state of the union and thousands of people have taken and used our materials and our course materials, which, Dr. Stan, I just want to tell you, listeners, this is really nothing more than elementary civics. You and I were young. That's what this would have been called in our schools or by our parents or grandparents. This would have been called civics. It's just basically training in how to think like an American. And I'd like to, during this time we have together, talk about the importance of that, what it means to think like an American, what the basic tenets of thinking like an American and believing like an American involves, and also tell folks how they can reconnect to their heritage by using the materials that we take a great deal of time and effort to produce. And there are other groups that do the same thing, too. But the main thing people need to realize, Dr. Stan, is that from the time of the beginning of our country until now, we have moved remarkably, very tragically and distinctly. We've moved away from the precepts, the principles that defined us as Americans and had us thinking and acting and believing like Americans to something very, very different. I would say we've moved from a Christian view, a biblical view, an American view of law and government to a pagan or neutral or unstructured view, which is very, very dangerous because when we don't know how to think and act and believe like Americans, we are subject to just the winds that blow and the evil that is perpetrated upon us by...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Michael was simply talking about our Constitution and how at one time people understood the Constitution, but things have changed, and we've really become almost a pagan nation today. In fact, I would say we have become a pagan nation. But it is my contention that these things did not happen by accident. First of all, they took God and prayer out of our schools, and the people who took God and prayer out of our schools knew exactly what they were doing. But the trouble is that the churches did not speak out and unite the people. Had the people been united by our church and religious and political leaders, the wicked people on the Supreme Court who belonged to a secret society couldn't have gotten away with it. And then, little by little, they've altered, certainly, the outlook of our people. They've altered our education to make pornography quite acceptable. You talk about child pornography, you should see what's taught in kindergarten in our schools today. Talk about child abuse, the ultimate in child abuse takes place in our schools. And yet we pay for it with our tax money. We are being corrupted by television. We're being corrupted by our magazines. We're being even corrupted when you turn on your computer and the first thing you know pops up on the screen a woman with a very, 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 very low a line on her dress there. Certainly is there specifically to distract you and implant on your mind these ideas that want to take us away from thinking about the important things like the Constitution, which, despite everything that has happened, despite the decisions of the Supreme Court, why this Constitution is still the law of our land. And the Supreme Court does not define the Constitution. It tells you what these people think. But the words of the Constitution are still the law of this land. It's about time we reclaimed America. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, thank you. Dr. Stan, again, it's an honor to be with you. And thank you for your hospitality and the ability to be on your program and talk to your listeners. You know, Psalm 11, verse 3. Says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And you know, I just today, Dr. Stan, was listening to a program that you recorded a couple of months ago with Thomas Woods. And he began the program by going back to Scripture. And I appreciated that. And by the way, I have learned a great deal from him and his books. And matter of fact, listening to that today, I have not yet read Meltdown, but because I listened to your program today, I ordered the book today so I could read that book and be advised by it. But we need to go back to Scripture and to what our founders called revealed law. And basically, my point is, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the righteous need to rebuild the foundations if the foundations are destroyed. We're not going to just flee to the mountains as David's advisors were telling them to do. No, we need to stand firm and rebuild the foundations and depend on God's providence and His help in doing the right in doing the righteous thing. We at Institute on the Constitution say that we need to plow our road. The harvest is up to God. But you and I need to plow our row, and we need to be about that and do that diligently and as excellently as we possibly can. And that's what we try to do at Institute on the Constitution with respect to teaching the precepts, the patterns, and the principles that are foundational to American law and government. That's what our courses are about. You can learn about our courses by going to iotconline.com, iotconline.com. And basically, Dr. Stan, all this really is a reintroduction of civics in the American culture. We're trying, and people are hungry for it. It's remarkable how hungry people are to understand the principles of American law and government. And what I hope to talk about a little bit on your program tonight, if I could, because we've talked about some of these things before, but I hope to talk about how we have moved away from this, what I'm going to call the American view. You could also call it the biblical view. But how we've moved away from that view to the pagan view over the last couple of hundred years. Now, any discussion like that, Dr. Stan, is always going to leave some things out, maybe not be exactly precise. But I think it's important that we kind of survey the major things that have occurred that have taken us from this American view to this pagan view, because it's essential that we reclaim the pagan view, reclaim the American view, the biblical view, so that we can reclaim and restore the American Constitutional Republic. Now, when I talk about that, let me first say what the American view is and where we find it. Dr. Stan, it's not the American view because Dr. Stan says so, or Michael Peruca says so, or David Whitney says so, who's been on your program, or Tom Woods or anybody else says so. It's the American view because it is the established view that was set forth by our founders when we declared our independence from Great Britain. And it fundamentally goes like this. It's only a couple of points. I would say there's 4 points. Number one, there is a creator God. Number two, our rights come from him. Number three, the purpose of civil government, and there are other governments, but the purpose of civil government is to protect and secure those God-given rights. And number four, that when any government doesn't do this, you change it or get rid of it and establish a government that will do this and only this. And this, again, is defending and protecting and securing God-given rights. That essentially, in a nutshell, is what the Declaration of Independence says. It says it right at the beginning. It says that its authority for saying so is the law of nature, nature's God, which is the Bible, and the law of nature, that is to say, that law of God which is written on men's hearts, his reason and his conscience, as informed by revealed law, which is the law of God written in the Bible. This is the basis, this is the foundation, this is the fundamental precept of the American view of law and government. Dr. Stan, Michael Peruka did not invent it. I didn't make it up. I believe it. I ascribe to it. But I didn't make it up. Our founders said this is what makes you an American. And this is what bound them together as Americans. I would venture to say, just as an example, if you ask a group of people what makes you an American, they would maybe say, well, because I have a Social Security number, or because I have a green card, or because I have a driver's license, or because I was born here, or whatever. That's not what made our founders Americans. It was united in this belief, this system of beliefs, these precepts, these principles, that gave them the courage and the foundation to declare their independence of Great Britain. Because they didn't have any problem with kings, they didn't have any problem with parliaments, but they did have a problem with parliaments and kings that exceeded their authority, and they recognized a higher, lawful, moral authority. And this is what is lost in American culture today, and I think you'd agree, Dr. Stan. We need to get back to, before we can change and fix the problem, we have to fix our thinking. I'm not saying that we should delay in trying to fix the problems, but I'm saying if we want a long-term, real, permanent fix to our country, we have to return to these precepts, which were the foundation of our cultural and economic success for decades and decades. That's what we need to return to.
Well, I certainly agree with you, but I think we have to recognize that there really are subversive forces working within our society. The law of our land is the Constitution, which your institute teaches. We have people in Washington, D.C., at the highest levels of our government, some of them are sitting on the Supreme Court, who do not believe in the Constitution. They have their own political agenda, and that is to create an all-powerful government ruled by a ruling elite. They really want a feudal form of government, very similar to what we had, you know, at the time of the American Revolution, with a king and then a ruling aristocracy, and there are many Americans who went right along with it at that time. This was great. You know, you had the ruling elite, and then everybody else, you know, there was subservient to them. Well, this is the direction we're heading, which is the antithesis of our Constitution, which is the law of the land. And you read the Constitution, there's no question what it says. If they want to change the Constitution, they could have amended it, but they knew they couldn't get the people to give up their freedom, so they have done this by judicial edict, by executive orders, by all sorts of laws passed by Congress that nobody has challenged, and little bit by little bit, they've centralized all power in Washington, D.C., and you go back and read what Thomas Jefferson said. He said, I see in the Supreme Court the seeds for the destruction of our nation, for when all power has been taken to Washington, Washington, D.C., a little bit here, a little bit there, working like a thief by night, we will eventually have a government as tyrannical as the one we have recently separated from. The quotation comes from the master thoughts of Thomas Jefferson. We'll be glad to provide it for our listeners. People have to understand that there are people who want a dictatorship in America. And unless we can get people to understand that these people are violating our laws, unless we can get the people in positions of power to do right, why, we have no future here in America. You go right ahead, Michael.
Well, Dr. Stan, I certainly agree. And let me try to trace through a little bit, if I can, with your help, about the major changes that occurred, where we started and how we got to where we are. And where we started in terms of our framers' understanding of the framers' view of the Constitution was that they believed that law, like truth, was unchanging, was absolute, and was God-ordained. In other words, they saw law as something that judges didn't invent, but that judges discovered and apply to the facts of the case.
Hold that case. We'll be right back in just a moment with Michael Perugia. Michael, go pick the story up there.
Sure. Dr. Stan, a couple of years ago, I sat and I had the privilege of sitting and having lunch with a circuit court judge in one of the counties in Maryland. And I asked him... It was back during the time of Roy Moore's, Chief Justice Roy Moore in Alabama, and his standing up for the acknowledgement of God in that case in Alabama where he put the monument, the Ten Commandments monument, in the Judicial Building in Montgomery, Alabama. And I happened to be talking to this at a casual dinner with this circuit court judge in Maryland. And he was opposed to Judge Moore's action, and we talked about that a little bit. Of course, I thought Judge Moore stood up for what was truly American and what was truly righteous in that case. But I asked him in the conversation, "Does law, Your Honor?" I said, "Your Honor, does law change?" He says, "Of course, law changes. Law evolves and it changes." Well, I asked him. I said, "Well, doesn't that scare you a little bit to think that if law changes, that something that you might have done yesterday or last week or last month or last year or about 10 years ago?" That was lawful when you did it, might be unlawful now or unlawful tomorrow, and some judge or some prosecutor could prosecute you for something that was perfectly legal when you did it, but it changes. And he kind of stumbled and mumbled, and I was trying to make a point to him that unless we acknowledge a higher moral law to which both judges and prosecutors and laymen and everyone, both government and people, are bound, then we're lost in a tyrannical situation where law is whatever that person who has the most guns or the most badges or the most symbols of authority says today what the law is. I know my friend Howard Phillips used to always use the expression, he used to say, law is the will of the sovereign. So whoever is sovereign is the lawmaker and the lawgiver.
Well, you know, Michael, when people make this point that laws can change, agreed, they can change. They can change them here in America, but they have to do it by amending the Constitution. And when you circumvent that, and when, of course, you alter the laws because men want them altered, why, then you have rule by man rather than rule by law. And certainly this is what happens with any tyrannical government. I mean, how, if you're going to say that law can be changed simply by the will of men, then, of course, what would be prevent them from establishing a situation which would benefit them and benefit their friends and establish a government that could take whatever the people have? At what point do you draw the line? Law is fixed, can be modified, but it has to be by the Constitution. And you go back and you read what Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson, said back in 1837 in his farewell address. And he said, look, if you want to modify the law, fine, modify the law, but do it by amending the Constitution. not by the will of the bankers. And he was, of course, condemning the fact that the bankers at that time wanted to control the American government. He said, that's fine, but it has to be done with the consent of the people. What is happening is not with the consent of the people.
Well, of course, that's true. And what you're discussing is what Blackstone would have called, and I'm talking about Sir William Blackstone, who wrote Commentaries on the Laws of England, he would have called municipal law. If you want to change municipal law, you do it in concert with the Constitution.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is just talking about the fact that a lot of people out there feel that we can change the laws. We have a living, breathing Constitution. No, we don't. We have a permanent Constitution that can be modified by the amendment process. The tyrants do not want to amend the Constitution because they know that the people don't want to give up their freedom, so they simply do it by judicial edict, and these people then become subversive elements. We have a Constitution. It can be changed, but by the amendment process, they made that difficult. And certainly, Michael is pointing out that we have people who want to change the Constitution by the decisions of the judges. The judges would determine what's right, rather than the people, rather than the law. So you pick the story up.
Well, sure. And Dr. Stan, you're absolutely right. And there is a larger point, even beyond the amending of the Constitution, because let's just say, for example, that we amended the Constitution and said that all people with red hair are not worthy of living and you can eliminate people with red hair. Let's say that we passed that and it was properly voted on and passed, and it was a proper amendment to the Constitution. Well, the point I'm making is, according to Blackstone and the American view of law and government, that still wouldn't be law because it would violate God's law. And in Blackstone would have set up three categories of law. He said that there's revealed law, that's what's in Scripture. Then there's the law of nature, that's what's written on our hearts. And it's consistent with the law of nature. And then there's what we call municipal law, that's law that man makes. That's all the constitutions and the statutes and the case law. Now, what Blackstone would have said is, if you can pass a law, man can pass a municipal law that says we can murder all red-haired people, but it violates Exodus 20:13 that says thou shalt not murder, and therefore it is not law.
But Michael, they could never pass a law like that because it's very difficult to amend the Constitution. And fortunately, they made the amendment of the Constitution very, very difficult. And they would have to get 3/4 of the states to go along with that. And of course, any one of the legislators who voted with that to get, you know, run out of the state on the rail. So, basically, you know, the average American is still a God-fearing individual. Fortunately, we still have an awful lot of wonderful people here in America. And so there is a process, and I agree with you, of course, everything should be according to God's law. But people, if they understood what was happening and they understood that, you know, what you were suggesting was in violation of God's law, they would block the amendment of the Constitution along those lines. Basically, people say, well, what about the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment? Those were never passed. There's a gentleman, Bill Benson, who's actually went around to all the states and found out that although the Secretary of State confirmed that all these states went along with it, the truth of the matter is this was never ratified. You know what they did to Bill Benson? They put him in prison because he pointed out the truth. They were never legally able to have the 16th Amendment, the income tax, 17th Amendment, the indirect election of senators, the election by the people. I mean, our system has worked pretty well. The only amendments that have gotten through were corrupt amendments, and at least in this case, they were never ratified by the states. Isn't it a shame that the people who violated the laws of our land were never punished for it?
Well, it's a tragic shame because they've manipulated the prosecutorial system to punish those who are innocent and are pointing out the injustice in the system, and those who perpetrate the injustice are not prosecuted, and that is a violation of the very essence of justice. But the point I was trying to make, Dr. Stan, was that you could pass all the what Blackstone called the municipal laws you want, but if they are not consistent or in harmony with God's law, they are not law. And I'm not saying that's Michael Peruca's view. I'm saying that's the view of Washington, Jefferson, Adams, Madison. That's the view of our founders. That's how they looked at things. That's how they looked at truth. They said truth is something that comes from God. We find it in revealed law and the law of nature, and that's why the Declaration of Independence begins with the laws of nature and of nature's God.
Well, I think it was
there we find the justification for separation from England.
Well, of course, Adams had said, our form of government was made only for moral and religious people. It wouldn't work for any other. And this simply reiterates what you've said, and that is that if we don't have people who look to God as the source of guidance, you can't have a limited government, you can't have freedom. It was really an ingenious system that was set up by our founders. It's just too bad that the people in power today don't believe in that. The public had come out and said, we don't believe in the Constitution. They should be tried for treason. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess as Michael Peruca, and Michael, I agree with your basic thesis. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. You know, I wrote a piece today and for the radio where I recognize that Barack Obama, President Obama, just a couple of days ago was on the air giving a speech regarding his new energy scheme. And as part of the speech, he was basically exhorting the Congress to pass, I guess what we call this cap-and-trade nonsense, this cap-and-trade situation, which, so he was exhorting the Congress to pass something that was that exceeded their authority under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. So he was exhorting the Congress to break the law and then basically to concede that authority that they didn't have once they to concede that falsely claimed authority to him and to let his regulatory agencies interfere with private property rights. And In that speech, I only set that up by way of context. In that speech, he looked at the camera, and he said, "Americans, we can't be afraid of change. Well, no, excuse me. He said, we can't be afraid of the future. We can't be afraid of the future." And that was his kind of tagline in this thing. And that got me to thinking that, you know, what we're afraid of is not the future. The premise of the president's argument in saying such a thing, I believe, is that we are, if we don't go along with his plan to make this unprecedented power grab of the healthcare industry and the energy industry and the insurance industry and the banking industry and the car industry, and I've left out 17 of them. Okay, if we don't go along with his unprecedented power grab to let the federal government violate the Constitution by assuming control of all of these free market areas that should be free market areas that are not authorized by the Constitution, then we are somehow small-minded or paranoid or have some fear, unaccountable fear of normal policy adjustments, public policy adjustments. Well, what's been going on in Washington and what's been going on in America for the last year?
Hold that thought, Michael. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Michael Peruca from the Institute of the Constitution. And before we go on, Michael, I want you to get out your address. I want you to get out your telephone number so people could learn how they could get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution. They could take the course online, and then they, if they wanted to, they could simply get one of the courses, and they could actually offer this to their friends in their local church and certainly in the local community to begin to teach the people about the Constitution and the truth about the Constitution, which has been very carefully and intentionally and maliciously suppressed by the educational establishment and by the financial establishment and even by the religious establishment right here in the United States.
Well, sure, Dr. Stan, thank you. Our web address is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. That stands for Institute on the Constitution. And it's iotconline.com. Our phone number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. The essence of what we do is provide course material and some complimentary material. They're DVDs, they're booklets, they're curricula that helps you to understand and reconnect to the American view of law and government, what we called at the beginning of the program, civics. What, when you and I were young, that's what they called learning about the precepts and the fundamentals of American law and government, civics. That's not taught anymore. We can do a whole show about that. You know that, Dr. Stan. But that's what we do. We try to publish and make available to folks self-help civics courses, so that you can teach your family, maybe your church in a Sunday school situation, maybe your community, maybe your neighbors, maybe your brother-in-law, whatever. We try to provide courses and materials that assist you in doing exactly that. So please visit iotconline.com or call us at 866-730-9796. And as you, as many of your listeners know, Pastor David Whitney, who is the director of our program, an Institute on the Constitution, has been on your program before, and been very helpful in providing this kind of information.
One more time with the telephone number there. You always have to give the telephone number twice.
Oh, of course. Our telephone number is 866-730-9796. 866-730-9796. 9796.
Thank you very much, Michael. Well, our telephone number, if anybody would like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you know, everybody's always talking about what are we going to do? We're going to back this bill. We're going to oppose that bill. But you have to understand the fundamentals. You have to understand why America is different, why America is worth trying to save, why simply everything going on in the world is predetermined by what's going on in the United States today. Who is the enemy? What is their objective? Is the enemy Osama bin Laden? Is the enemy Putin? Is the enemy the dictator in communist China today? Or is the real enemy in Washington, D.C. and in New York City and the financial houses there? Are those people who are using the financial and the military power of the United States to bring about a one-world government? What is the major source and force behind this idea of the World Trade Organization and NAFTA and CAFTA and all of these organizations which are dedicated to destroying national sovereignty and instituting a world court and a world police force and a world military and all of these other World Trade Organizations and World Bank? This is not happening by accident. It's happening by design. Who's behind it? And what is the spiritual forces that energizes these people who are intent upon destroying the sovereignty of the American people, indeed destroying the freedom of people throughout the world? So you pick up the story.
Well, Dr. Stan, you're exactly right. There is a plan. This is not happening by accident. This is not just some kind of... We haven't just drifted out to sea. If we were in a boat, and we're getting farther and farther from constitutional government, which you might consider to be terra firma, the dry land. We haven't just drifted away. We've been pushed on purpose by purposeful people who have a specific agenda, and we need to be smart and as calculating as they are in resisting that agenda so that we can preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, which is what our founders called for in the preamble to our Constitution. So, see, one of the troubles in America is that we know something's wrong. We know something's broken. People come to us all the time, Dr. Stan, full of anger or disillusionment because they know something's broken and they know something's wrong and they don't know what to do. But they want to do something right away. And we're not against civic action at all. Not a bit of it. But our mission is to reacquaint and reconnect Americans with the principles and the foundational principles of American law and government so that what happens from here is not worse than where we are. Let's return and reconnect to our heritage of liberty under law and understand what law is, what its source and its nature is, where it comes from, what our founders understood, and what they bequeathed to us. That's extremely important. Our own history is extremely important and very revealing because, Dr. Stan, if we were adrift in this sea of unconstitutionality right now, without the founding documents that we do possess, we would be hard-pressed to create them. We would be very hard-pressed to think through the foundational principles, the godly principles on which our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution are based. It would be a mess to try to figure it out. Now, thankfully, providentially, these documents and this view does exist. It exists on paper. It exists in history. It is a real thing that we can refer back to. So just like the English nobles at Runnymede in 1215 when they confronted King John and said, "You are abusing us and our people, and we want to restore the ancient rights of Englishmen." That's the way our founders looked at the situation. They didn't see that they in the American, what we call the American Revolution, that was revolutionary at all. They saw it as something that was restorative, didn't they? They said the king and the parliament have violated those ancient laws, those ancient rights of Englishmen, and just like the nobles at Runnymede in 1215, we want to restore that view. Well, Dr. Stan, that's exactly what we're saying at Institute on the Constitution right now. We're not saying we want to have a revolution in America. We're not saying these things are new thoughts or we want to start something new. We want to go back to something old based on truth, based on human nature, based on God's law, and we want to restore that. That's exactly what this civics program is all about at Institute on the Constitution. So I was, forgive me for my little bit of preaching there, but I was talking a little earlier, Dr. Stan, about what President Obama said about to the, you Americans. He was saying to us, don't be afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of the future, but like Bastiat, I think we should have a healthy fear of those who gain control of government and the power of government and use government to break the law rather than to uphold the law.
And I think a man who gets up and says, America is not a Christian nation. Well, where would he get off saying that? The Supreme Court has repeatedly said we were a Christian nation. Obviously, Barack Obama has a different allegiance. Barack Obama, as you've said, has more czars than the Romanovs had when they were the rulers of Russia. I mean, he says, we don't want to take over the automotive industry, but they've taken it over. And do you honestly think that Barack Obama will do a better job of running General Motors than the people who had General Motors before? And, of course, I mean, do you honestly think that he's going to be able to regulate the banks? Do you think he's going to be able to provide you with good health care? Do you really think that he's going to be able to take over the energy industry, which he wants to do unconstitutionally?
Dr. Stan, just if your listeners will just think about this just reasonably, I mean, forget everything I've said if you'd like to. You shouldn't, but if you want to forget everything I've said about whether or not they have the authority to do these things, because they don't. That's the first question. Do they have the authority? And they don't. You have to look at their track record. Are these the kind of people you want to trust the healthcare industry to, or the automotive industry to, or the insurance industry to, or the banking industry to, or any industry to? These are the people who brought you Katrina. These are the people who brought you $68 trillion in unfunded entitlements. These people can't run anything. Everything they do is a mess. And yet they come out with pronouncements, for example, when General Motors, when they took over General Motors and said, well, we will stand behind your automotive guarantee. Dr. Stan, does that make you feel comfortable about your GM truck? Come on. Excuse me for getting excited.
Well,
but that is absurd.
But what they're going to have to do is it's going to be like vaccines, you know. You don't have to worry about the vaccines. Take the vaccines. And, of course, if you have a problem, you can go to the vaccine court. You try going to the government vaccine court that's got billions of dollars to pay injuries, a payment to people who've been injured by vaccines, and they will fight you every step of the way. Would you want to fight the federal government to get your car fixed because your warranty didn't work? I mean, basically...
When he comes out and says that people of America, be secure. The federal government stands behind your Chrysler warranty or your GM warranty. Are you kidding me? Excuse me, you got me excited, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think that, of course, all we need to do is understand that the Chinese are frightened to death of our government. They're afraid our government's going to default on the value of the dollar, and they're going to get stuck with all these dollars. Nations throughout the world, the so-called BRIC nations, that Brazil, Russia, India, and China are getting together, and they're saying, well, you know, what are we going to do? If we're holding all these American dollars and the dollar's going right down the tube, they're frightened about the future. They're frightened about the future of the dollar. They're frightened about our economy. And the American people have every right to be frightened. If they're not frightened, or there's something seriously wrong with them, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Our guest is Michael Perutka of the Institute of the Constitution, a man who's a patriot who's dedicated his life to trying to preserve our heritage for generations yet unborn. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you. I would just finish that point by saying if you are comforted in any way by knowing that the government ensures or stands behind anything, then I'd have to say either you're an outright fool or you just haven't been paying attention to what's been going on in history. The federal government just doesn't have forget the fact that they don't have the authority to do these things. That's the principal point, and I shouldn't say forget it because that's really the point. They don't have any authority. But if you go beyond that and say, what is their track record about actually fixing problems? They're woefully inadequate in any of those areas. They haven't. If you think that the federal government can make cars, or build dams, or grow crops, or run insurance companies, or run banks. The track record, for example, of the Federal Reserve System, which is a creature of the federal government, even though it's not part of it, is dismal. Not only hasn't it stopped any recessions or depressions, it's caused them. It's caused the housing bubble. It's caused the the difficulties in the economy. It's caused inflation. It hasn't prevented inflation at all.
Well, you know, Michael, one of the best examples of government efficiency is Iraq. Now, when we attacked Iraq, you know, in 2003, Iraq was an efficient country. We didn't like the ruler. That Saddam Hussein was a wicked and evil man, but they had electricity, they had certainly sewage, they had the sewer, they had garbage collection. People had jobs, and people stayed there. In fact, 10% of the population was Christian. Now that the heroic Americans have liberated the country, they have electricity maybe 1 or 2 or 3 hours a day. There's no garbage collection usually. The sewers don't work. The people are out of work. In fact, a lot of the people who are committing these acts of terrorism, they stopped doing it when we paid them because we'd closed down all the factories. This is a direct influence of our own military government and government agencies working in Iraq to bring and to correct the situation. They had almost 6 years to get the country working. Yet it was working fine the day before we invaded, and look at it today. Do you really want the same people who have destroyed the infrastructure of the country of Iraq running our infrastructure here?
Well, Dr. Stan, if anyone thinks that the federal government is competent to do any of the things that it does, please just look around you and rethink that position. You know, I hear all the time on the news recently with Bernie Madoff being sentenced recently. You hear all about the Bernie Madoff case, and frequently it's characterized as the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. Well, of course, it's nowhere near the biggest Ponzi.
I mean, Social Security and Medicare are the biggest Ponzi schemes. Hey, let's go to Lauren, who's calling from Ohio. Okay. Hi, Lauren. Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, just a quick comment. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your discussion.
And
are you getting to the end? Real quickly, the Constitution is a body of negative law to limit the government.
Amen to that. It is a restrictive covenant. It restricts the power of the government so the men could be, people could be free, men and women. And isn't it a shame that we never teach that in school? Liberty and limited government are synonymous. Tyranny and total government are synonymous. Are we moving towards limited government or total government? Our guest, Michael Prutka. Lauren, God bless you. Thanks very much for calling. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program. And, of course, Lauren is absolutely right. The secret of America was that we had limitations placed on the power of government. The Bill of Rights limited what the federal government could do because our founding fathers feared power. They knew that power could corrupt, and absolute power would corrupt absolutely. In fact, absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And what are we doing today? We're centralizing all power in Washington, D.C. And as I said, the Obama administration has far more czars than the Romanovs did prior to the Russian Revolution. Michael, you got 2.5 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you. And I'm so sorry that Lauren called at the very kind of end of the program there, because I would have liked to listen to her further and discuss with her. She's absolutely right. The what she was discussing was the power flow. The power flow in despotic, tyrannical countries is that it comes from the king or the despot or the dictator down through the ministries of government down to the people. In America, our view is quite different. It's that God gives rights to people. And then people empower governments by the consent of the governed. So the power flow is much, much different and needs to be understood. And she's right about the Constitution that it's a document of limited and enumerated powers, and that the government can only do what it's authorized to do. And the whole question that any legislator or any judge or any elected or appointed official should always have paramount in his mind is, first of all, does the government have the authority to do this thing which is proposed? That's never asked, Dr. Stan. That is a question which is never asked on the television, and it's never prompted in the schools, and the television, the major media, and the education system are the two major vehicles in which this fake, pagan, perverted view of America has been transmitted to the youth of America. So that needs to be undone. That's what Institute on the Constitution is all about. I thank Lauren for her comment, even though it was a very quick one. It was very precise. I encourage people to go to IOTCOnline.com, IOTCOnline.com, or call us at 866-730-9796, and get the tools you need. Get the tools you need so that you can hold your elected and appointed representatives accountable to their oath of office. They take an oath of office to
hold that thought. Hold that thought, please. Well, our guest is Michael Perugia. The program's over, but before we let Michael go, I want you to get out the website and the telephone number again.
Sure. It's IOTCOnline.com, IOTCOnline.com, and the number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Dr. Stan, thank you for your hospitality and for all the great work you do.
Thank you for everything you do.
Appreciate
and for your support,
everything.
Michael. Bye-bye. God bless. All right. Well, our guest was Michael Perugia, and I do hope you've enjoyed our program with him. We always enjoy Michael, and Michael certainly supports Radio Liberty, and we support what they're doing. We think it's very, very important. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there across America will want to begin to understand what is really going on in our country. And since you've never read Frederick Bastiat, we have his little book on the law. It was written at the same time the Communist Manifesto was written. It is fundamental to understanding that the people who are pushing socialism today, they don't believe in redistributing the wealth of the nation. They just believe in just redistributing your wealth, because these are the most wealthy people in our country who are pushing socialism. Now, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness and or The Talk. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret of the syllabus. You need to get my talk on the financial Armageddon and the syllabus. Why? Because it will tell you that they have created this whole situation. And, of course, if you do not protect yourself, you're going to lose everything you have materially. And you may very well lose your life before this is over. We're dealing with very wicked and evil people, and there's no way you can stand against them on your own. We have a great 4-CD set. It's an updated set called Financial Armageddon 2009. That's Financial Armageddon. It's a 4-CD set. Important information that will help you make your plans for what's going on. We carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The book, The Coming Battle, was written in 1899, but it could have been written yesterday, telling about how the banks had set out to gain control of our government, and that's exactly what they've done. I mean, basically, the banks and the government are one and the same, and the Federal Reserve is controlled by the banks. It's not controlled by the government. The Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express, but they can't let the American people know. We have a small group of people who have wrecked our economy intentionally because their loyalty is to a one-world government with a new one-world leader. And, of course, this one-world leader will be the Antichrist. Put this into a biblical terms with certainly the 10-DVD set put out by Pastor Billy Crone, The Final Countdown, Part 1, Part 2, each with 5 DVDs in it. We actually carry Pastor Crone's book, The Final Countdown. I just started carrying it. You can get the CDs of his talks that we do here on the radio. And you can get part one, which is the first 5 of the talks he gives. And it's called Countdown to Armageddon. You need to get the information. You need to help us get it out. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs there. You can watch our DVDs. You can read our newsletters. But then, of course, if you've not yet made your plans for the very difficult times that are coming, and they're coming really very, very soon, if you'd like to get a catalog for long-term food storage, we work with Ready Reserve. You get the same wholesale prices from Radio Liberty you get from them because we work very closely together. If you need your Berkey water filters, you need to have those. If you'd like to lay in a supply of your health products that you need, the Alibiotic to help you increase your immune response, the vitamin D3, you need to be taking D3, you need to be taking the iodine products if you want. We have a great 4-tape set on iodine. You need to understand about magnesium. We carry a book, The Miracle of Magnesium. Of course, they know that these things are deficient in our diet, and that's why they take them out of our diet. You have to understand that we have real problems today. We have people who have a different worldview. America is under attack, but not from without. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, when we'll be back with you at the same time, may the Lord be with you.